Talk Dirty to Me by Jason Derulo. He says, like, been around the world, don't speak the language, but your booty don't need explaining. And how I'm like, I would really like to think my booty doesn't need explaining. Like, what kind of booty would need an explanation?
I feel like anything I could say here would be body shaming.
Yeah, well, it's like, imagine being like, okay, before I take my pants off, I just need to explain something to you.
Okay, let's do an episode.
My safe word is quetzal. Let's go.
First of all, I suggested an orgy.
I found a caramel egg.
Moving on from stalking.
Yeah, but I do it, I'm gonna have sex.
I know.
That would be weird to have a white guy be the team captain, though.
I don't know how beds work.
I hate being reminded of my own mortality. All right. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea about figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. This was great. Hi. Welcome back.
What do you mean, this was great?
You're getting so good at the intro. It sounds like if I were not one of us and I heard that, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like fun. And
oh my God, that's like so sweet. Thank you. Okay. what are we doing today? That's the whole show.
Yeah, there is no tea.
That's my favorite stupid podcaster joke is when they're like, and that's the episode. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
I just heard the punch of the Jam Like Ken team in my head as you said that.
Today is our 10th episode, which is a big deal. Especially for me, because I never stick to anything I start.
Well, yeah, but you're like working with a Virgo now, so you're stuck here.
It's true, and I love it. happy to be here. So today on episode 10, we're going to be talking about a few different things. First of all, we're going to talk about World Team Trophy. And in the spirit of the chaos and fun that was World Team Trophy, we're not really going to do anything super structured. We're just going to talk about some moments that jumped out. And then we're going to talk about the galas from the World Championships and World Team Trophy, because there was a lot of overlap, a lot of the same programs. And as much as I want to like really go into the difference between KG's JoJo program with the pink shirt versus the yellow shirt, there's only like a few other people in the world who want to talk about that with me, and that's fine. We can do it on Twitter.
Oh, God. Yeah, so I can't believe we're going back to like competitive skating. Like, it feels like World Team Trophy was like 12 years ago.
It's come to our attention that a lot of our listeners actually don't watch figure skating, which is kind of cool. So for those who don't, do you want to explain like what World Team Trophy is?
I would love to if I knew. No, I'm kidding. What is World Team
described
Trophy? It's like,
I described World Team Trophy to my therapist as like if the Olympics were a Japanese game show.
It's very like it's like in Harry Potter when they split up in houses and they play Quidditch and they like collect points and someone wins, but it's like instead of a house full of wizards, it's your country. Each country, it's the top six ranking countries at the end of the season. And it happens every two seasons, so it's not every year. And it's been happening for like 10 years now, so there's been five of them.
Yeah, and it's really a lot about like team spirit and fun, and like all of the other skaters sit in the kiss and cry, and they like make silly signs and wear costumes about their country. And
so they send like every country sends two boys, two girls from singles, a pair and an ice dance pair, and they compete, and then there's like points that get collected from each event, and then those points add up to like a team like podium.
You get points based on standing and not based on score, so like if you win by a tiny bit, it's the same as winning by a huge margin. It's a nice event for teams for like federations that are really well-rounded, because you really need to have good singles, pairs, and ice dance in order to win, and or like a disproportionately good like one discipline. And even then, I think it's really more to reward like well-rounded federations.
Yeah,
well, it's nice. I mean, you know,
it like really highlights where like a federation's focus is.
My God, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's Japan, but I'm, you know, saying it's Japan.
Okay. Like low-key Italy. We need Carolina to come back, or like, I don't know, send her spirit into the body of someone younger.
There's like a bunch of like Italian junior ladies who at some point will be like on that level, I would hope. I mean,
because they all compete in Sofia for some reason.
Yeah, I do not know why, but there were so many Italian juniors at my rank like 2 weeks ago. It was like a Thursday afternoon and there were so many of them.
Well, when they get older, they're coming for Carolina's wig.
Yeah, I will have known. Okay, So we're gonna kind of talk about, like, important moments or, like, fun moments, because honestly, at this point, we've talked about every single one of those programs so many times.
We have. And so the main thing about World Team Trophy is that it's kind of the last, it's like a the can't hardly wait of the figure skating season. It's like, it's the last party before graduation. Everyone's going to go for that thing that they've been thinking about, whether it's like an insane combination or whether it's very much like some people go for like that kind of vibe of like, it's our last chance to do our best job. And then some people really phone it in because they have senioritis. It's fun. And so we're going to talk first of all about the people who went for broke. And as a result of that attitude, a lot of people got their season's best at World Team Trophy, which is probably kind of bittersweet, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine if you did, like, you know, fine at, say, Worlds or Euros, and then you show up at World Team Trophy, which, like, not even... There are people who follow figure skating who did not watch that because it's not, you know, as serious as Worlds, for example, and then you go out and you do, like, your absolute best job of the season. I mean, I guess it's, like, a nice trajectory either way. Like, you know that you've reached the best possible thing you can do with those, like, programs for the season, so that's nice. But at the same time, it's, like, I would guess, like, slightly unfortunate.
It's interesting to see how people, like, some people perform better when the pressure is higher and some people perform much worse when the pressure is higher, and like those people are the ones who did a lot better at World Team Trophy, which people kind of care less about.
Yeah, I think it's about expectation and about like stakes
and maybe about having your buddies there to really cheer you on. That might help.
Yeah Also, like, I guess if you're fighting for a team and not just, I mean, I guess you're always representing a country, but when it's like your contribution directly affects other people's wins and like losses, if I know that I have to do well in order for my friends to get their medals, maybe that would motivate me a little bit.
Yeah. So in that note, we just wanted to do like a quick, we're just going to list off the names of people who got season's best at World Team Trophy in the style of like, this is everyone who died at the Oscars.
Can you have,
not
like...
died at the Oscars, like, died this year, and then...
I got my season's best death at the Oscars.
Imagine, like, if the Oscars played a reel every year of everyone who died at last year's Oscars ceremony.
That's like some real Hunger Games shit.
Oh my god.
All
right, do you want to do boys?
I do want to do boys.
As always, we're just doing single skaters.
And also, I'm just doing this in, like, the order in which I pulled them up from, like, a list. So, in no particular order, people who got season's best at World Team Trophy were Vincent Zhou from the USA, a very special man. We have talked about at length. He got all of his season's best. A short program, his free, and his total overall. All season's best. He seemed very happy about that, so congrats. Also, your husband, Keiji Tanaka, same thing. He got all of his bests. Super proud. Super great. Good job. Good for him. Also, Andrei Lazukin from Russia, who once again, let me remind you, was not even supposed to be there. And once again, he proves that he can show up when he's not supposed to be somewhere and do super well. He got his short program and his total score, season's best. His free at Worlds was better. And then we have Matteo Rizzo from Italy, who got his free skate and his overall total score best at World Team Trophy. His queen program continues to be so great. I know people who don't like that program, and I have questions for them. Many questions. And lastly, from the boys, we have Nam Nguyen from Canada, who also got all of his season's bests at World Team Trophy.
Okay. So Marina Piretta from Italy got all of her season's best. And also Roberta Rodigiero.
I'm not going to try.
Italian. I'm so sorry, Roberta. She got her season's best free skating score, so good for them. As we've said, the ladies singles at the moment in Italy is a little weaker, but I'm happy for them that they did great. Rika Kihira got her personal best short program score at World Team Trophy. Kaori Sakamoto got all of her personal bests at World Team Trophy. Liza Tuktomysheva also got all of her personal bests a World Team Trophy and actually took the highest score overall for the ladies, which is fantastic for her. I'm happy she got a triumphant moment after all the drama this season. She is a fighter and she did return.
She did.
And Brady Tennell of the USA also got all of her personal bests at World Team Trophy.
Also a fighter.
Good for her.
Yeah, so that's super exciting. That's like so many people that we've been talking about for 10 episodes who are major competitors because they're like out there representing their countries and they're like the best in the world, basically. And they're out there like doing their best up until the very last moment. So that's great.
There are also people who maybe didn't achieve their season's best, but did really decide that they're going to go full no rules Parmesan pasta and just go full chaos. Namely, our good friend Shoma Uno, who came out with a new costume for an old short program. He brought back Winter, an old fave, and he did it in the world's sparkliest blouse.
I need to talk about this blouse because it's a masterpiece and I've been thinking about it since I first saw it. It's like a dark gray and it's a velvety velour fantasy, except it has like panels that are glitter, but they look like glittery sandpaper. They look like look like textured and rough, and it's such a beautiful like it's like the juxtaposition of the velour and the glitter, and it's like cut really well and it's drapey, but then like the glitter part is like super structured. It's just so great. Like, it's like the platonic ideal of like what I'd like to skate in, I think. He looked super, super well in that costume, and I hope he like keeps that. I'm not sure if he's gonna like keep that program because it's not a new program, but it's a great new costume and he should like wear it so much.
Also, that program fucks. I had forgotten how hard that program fucks.
No, it's great.
Vivaldi, he went off on Winter. Like, he really did. That and that particular program makes me feel things in my Vivaldi.
I mean, okay, if that's something you want to share with the class, we're gonna okay,
listen, this is a thirsty ass podcast. I'm it so is. sorry,
we do have the explicit rating, so if you're one of the many skater children who follow us on Instagram, please don't.
Please don't.
I don't want to be responsible. I'm too young to have skater children.
So Shoma did Winter again, and it was beautiful and gorgeous. And let's talk about the shit that he tried to do in, I believe it was it Moonlight that he tried to insert some weird ass fucking shit into?
Yeah. So Shoma, here's the deal with Shoma. As you know, he finished fourth at Worlds and he's not been happy about it. None of us have been happy about it because we want him to do his best. And he was saying that at World Team Trophy, he just wants to show up and not be a disappointment to his team, which is deeply relatable. But the way he wanted to do that was in his free skate. He came out, he did a quad flip, triple toe, a quad flip individually, triple loop. And then he did a quad sal, which went horribly. And then he did a triple axel quad toe, which also did not go incredibly well, but it's like,
but it was fully rotated.
And the base value of the triple axel quad toe is 19.25 points. So even with his like, super negative GOE, he still got 14.5 points for it. His GOE is across the board minus fives, and then he still got 14.5 points for it. You know, I have like mixed feelings about overly complicated jumps for no reason. Having said that, it was exciting, and it was ballsy, and it was fully rotated, so that happened.
Yeah, like, World Team Trophy is absolutely the place to do overly complicated jumps for no reason, so I'm glad that he did it. And you know what? It's been a historically good event for him, because 2 years ago at World Team Trophy was where he landed his first quad flip, so
yeah,
it's like a tradition now. He's got to try weird shit.
Which is great. I hope he keeps the triple axel quad toe, because it looks so good. It's like, it's what we talk about when you talk about, like, athleticism and, like, overcoming things that no one's ever done before. Even with that, he was third in the free skate, which is wild to me.
And then my favorite Kiss and Cry moment was after Moonlight Sonata, when an exhausted Shoma Uno just kind of toddled up into the kitchen cry and into KG's arms, and they just had a soft hug, and it was just,
I mean, he like, it was like into KG's like sternum chest region overall.
He just like opened his arms and was like, come here, my small brother. And he
was like, it was very precious, very, very sweet. I'm a fan of friendship, so this was a great event for me.
I wish that all events could be like that, but I understand why they can't.
Yeah, it would be hard at other events. But I will say that, like, sometimes I think, like, I want to say it was like US Nationals, in the different events you could hear people, like the boys cheering on for the girls and stuff from the arena, and it's like one of my favorite things, because you know they're there like anyway, so it's kind of sweet when you get to like experience that as well.
I love that.
It's very humanizing. I know,
and the Team Japan is really an excellent example of that. Like, I feel like they really are friends and like support each other, and I know like all the boys came and like watched the girls at Nationals in Japan. And speaking of Japan, very much inspired by his friend's chaotic moment of let's try weird shit, my husband Keiji Tanaka went out and in his free skate he landed his first quad toe. He said in his interview after, he was like, I was inspired by Shoma and I was like, I'm gonna try something new, and he did it. And now he has two quads, and let me tell you, there are a lot of guys who are doing well consistently internationally with only one quad, and now KG has two quads. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, the quad cell is not super consistent. I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen with the quad toe. But if he could like hang on to those two quads, like my man could actually like move up the ranks a little bit. So that is very exciting.
We're gonna get to like talk about him so much more next season if we start doing like top sixes of things.
Yeah, so watch out. It's just gonna be even worse from here on out.
Hey, do you want to talk about people who showed up to not do what KJ Showa did?
Yes. So our boy Nathan Chen was not feeling so great. He was tired. It's finals. He was sick. He was like napping on the floor between events. So
I just admire him so hard. Like, his life is so hard. And he still showed up. Also, on top of all of this, his boots were falling apart. him and Rika especially, out of like everyone, look like they needed to like burn their boots the second they were done competing and just move on to a new pair, because there was like duct tape. I mean, everyone was like duct taped, but like the two of them, it was like a stage manager got like very, very excited like near them. So what Nathan did was he did not do quads. I mean, he did like quads, but like three overall instead of a billion.
His usual 100.
His usual 12. Yeah, he did like two of them in his free skate and only one in his short program, which was great for me because he got to just dance.
And unfortunately, he did break his triple axel streak of the season of landing all of them perfectly. He had a little bit of a fumble. Plus one Euler. Was it a fall? Yeah. He didn't fall, did he?
He did not fall. He did not fall. He
stepped out of it, or he like stepped or something. Out. It was just an awkward landing. And afterwards on his Instagram story, he wrote, "Axel streak, here for a good time, not a long time."
I love his Instagram presence, because like half the time you could, if you just happen to follow him and you don't know who he is, like I don't know how that would happen, but it looks like he's just a boy who really likes the Utah Jazz and like that's
it. Just a bro, just like a regular bro.
He would like the day after Worlds, like it was literally like the day after Worlds, and he was just like sharing like basketball stuff, and I'm like, you just won.
The other thing that's here for a good time and not a long time was the Vera Wang penguin suit, because we got Vest Caravan back again.
We got Vest Caravan. I did not realize I missed Vest Caravan so much, because I like Vera Wang. Like, I enjoy the minimalist, like, geometric fantasies, but the vest is just so blessed.
You know, I had the opposite trajectory, where I loved Vest, and then I really, over time, grew to love the penguin suit, and then seeing the vest again felt wrong, because it felt like he had really come into his own with the penguin suit, and it felt like, we talked last week about how like Yuzu in his like frilly flamboyant Elf King costumes feels more authentic than seeing him in like a tracksuit or a t-shirt. And I think the best figure skating costumes feel like that. I think they feel like a manifestation of like the aesthetic of that person's soul, And I think that the minimalist black and white is just who Nathan is. And so then seeing him back in a vest felt like a costume again, and I didn't like it as much.
Yeah, you're right. We have said this before. I feel like when he's in those like minimalist, darker like costumes, it's more of himself skating and not himself skating a character. But I was not mad at it. Also, his hair looked good. It was like a whole thing.
People read him on like social media for never skating in colors. And like, as a person who doesn't really wear colors, I'm like, leave him alone. Plenty of people just like to wear black.
Also, like, I mean, we talked about this ages ago, but I feel like with people like him and like Javi, it's a matter, or it was a matter of like just watching the skating, which I appreciate. Like, I love flamboyant, sparkly elf prince fantasies a lot. Like, it brings me joy, but at the same time, sometimes I'm like, it's a power move to just be like, I'm wearing a black and white shirt and you're still gonna watch me and I'm still gonna be great.
Yeah, it's about personality. I mean, yeah, like we just said, like, it would feel weird for Nathan to wear a Yuzu costume. It would feel weird for Yuzu to wear a Nathan costume. They're very different people. They skate very differently. So Nathan took it easy, and Nathan taking it easy is still quite good.
Yeah. I mean, I wish, I mean, I don't because I jump singles, but I wish taking it easy was like, I'm only going to do three quads. And he's still like placed first in both events.
Good for him. Yeah, so someone who didn't have a good time at World Team Trophy is Gabby Dalman. And I should preface, it sounds like she actually did have a really good time. She was, you know, dancing and cheering and everything. But she had a really, really bad collision with Laureen Lecavalier. And notice that no one accused Laureen of trying to kill Gabby, but whatever. Gabby
actually, I will say, though, really Gabby was the person skating backwards, and it was kind of on her.
Yeah.
Gabby got more hurt in that collision, but it was also like she was the person who was kind of skating backwards and did not look back. So there's that.
I cannot believe that she skated after that because she looked like she was in so much pain. She kept clutching her ribs and her thigh.
Yeah.
And then recently on Instagram, she posted a picture of the aftermath, and she had huge, massive, solid black bruises on her leg and her face and her ribs. And I guess she like broke ribs, and like it was right before the free skate. And I wish she had just singled or doubled some of her jumps just to get through it, but she didn't. And you know, it just looked, I was just like in pain watching her. She was clearly, if it were me, I would have just been like, nah, I'm good. Fuck Canada. I'm out. I'm in pain. But it you know, goes to show that she's clearly a fighter.
She did return. Yeah. She did
return.
Yeah, she seems to be fine, like doing fine on Instagram overall. But yeah, it looked scary when it happened. And there was a moment when I was not sure if she would skate. But she did, because I guess Team Spirit. And like, given all of that, she had a fine time. I mean, I couldn't expect more of her just because of like what was happening.
Yeah, she had a hell of a season, and she proved that she's very resilient.
Yeah, it's great.
Mental pain, physical pain. Seems like there's nothing you can throw at Gabby that she's not gonna get through, so that's cool.
Yeah, she's very strong. I know we joke about some of her social media presence sometimes, but she's very, very strong, and we all know that. And I personally like super appreciate that. She's so pretty. I'm on her Instagram right now.
Yeah, well, speaking of fighters who did return, Liza Tuktomysheva had a fucking great event. As we said, she won the ladies, right? Like, she did. Yeah, she came in I think she came in first place overall for the ladies, and she landed all her triple axels beautifully, like not kind of struggly like she did during the Grand Prix series. They were like clean as fuck, really nice. It was just a great event for her.
I will say my favorite part of like all of her skating was, I mean, obviously the fist pump cantilever is always like iconic, but during that she like did this like motion with her hands to get the audience to cheer for her. She's so like electric and fun to watch, and just like knows how to engage with an audience and make it fun for everyone. In a way which, like, I know it's old news, but it, like, reminded me of how much I missed, like, seeing her, like, at Worlds, and even before that at, like, Russian Nationals and stuff. It just reminded me of, like, how great she is in competitive situations and when she's not just skating toxic. So I feel like that was, like, a great way for her to finish her season with a reminder that she's a fighter and she will return.
She has big dick energy for days.
Oh my god, what did you just do? Your audio quality is so much better.
I realized that my mic was like half unplugged.
Yeah, your audio quality is so much better.
One day when we get bigger and we have a Patreon and we can afford things, we'll get someone who's like a real professional audio engineer to do all this for us.
Yeah, or just like a studio where we can like sit down and eat snacks, but not into the microphone.
Yeah, it's true. Also, as though like Netta's doing like 99% of the audio engineering and it's perfect, and it's just me who can't realize that my mic is just not plugged into my computer.
We sound beautiful now. Let's talk about romance. I want to talk about love.
Let's talk about love. So girlfriend Lazukino was there as well, and we got some great Lizukin moments. I don't, we probably didn't invent that couple name, but we did not.
Yeah, I screamed it during our production meeting for like out of the blue, just because I feel like I'm so smart. I'm sure someone else has come up with it. But anyway, they were like super cute and the kiss and cry and like clearly proud of each other. And it's very, very sweet.
Yeah, yeah, she like kissed him on the cheek after he skated and it was just darling.
She was like hanging like onto his neck from like behind him while he was in his kiss and cry. It was like very cute.
It was so cute.
They like clearly very much like each other, so it's very, very sweet. Also, like, friendship, aside from romance, friendship is so great. I can't, like, stress that enough how much fun I had.
I know, and I feel like this is a good opportunity to talk about some of the cute, like, costumes and props that they had. Like, Team Russia had, I kept calling them chimney sweep hats, but they weren't. They were, like, little, like, Russian revolutionaries with their little, like, paperboy hats.
Yeah, and
they
had Newsies, but Russian. It's very, like, the crowd scenes in Rumor in St. Petersburg.
Yeah!
Very that. And they had, like, the traditional headdresses as well.
And they had necklaces with cookies on them, which I didn't understand. Can you explain that to me as a Slav?
I could not. I do not know.
There was a point, too, after Liza skated where all the guys... Okay, so, like, all the teams started doing this thing where everyone behind them would do, like, a little pose or a little dance move that represented the skater. And for Liza, all the guys slowly unzipped their sweatshirts and had nothing on underneath to, like, as an homage to the Toxic routine. And it was very...
Oh, it was so dumb.
Another, it was so many things.
Another one of my favorite choreographed kiss and cry moments was... Which the fuck... One of Shoma's programs ends with that hand gesture.
It's Winter. They all did that.
It's Winter, and they all did, like, the... It's like his hand is, like, out and, like, pointing down with his thumb down, and then it, like, turns, and they all did that. It was great. And it's funny, because, like, when we were watching it, he finished that, and I was, like, doing the same thing, and then it cut to the kiss and cry, and everyone else was doing it.
Yeah, Team Japan was great with that. They obviously, for... They got Keiji, like, a stupid, like, JoJo wig, and like they all did his like dumb JoJo pose too, which was cute. And the Team Japan had a lot of stuff. They had like a traditional wig, they had like headbands with cupcakes on them, which I don't really understand. At one point Shoma was wearing like a robe thing that I thought it looked like a school uniform, but I guess it's like a traditional like Japanese cheerleadery like fan person outfit. And Team America had some truly bizarre things.
We have gotten this far into this episode without even mentioning that my wife Mariah Bell was there. She was
there.
Wow,
that's impressive.
I know. I've been trying so hard. Because honestly, her skating was fine. She did not do her hair the right way for one of her programs, which was deeply upsetting. I'm so used to her like braiding her hair, and she did not, and I was distressed. Anyway, she had this like, pregnant woman apron fantasy at one point.
Yeah, there's
this, they like, had a overall dress.
It's weird to me that you know, maybe this is just because I'm American, maybe this, but I think it's also a specific to America thing where like from other countries patriotism is cute, and from America it's just like triggering.
I don't know. I as someone who went to like an American high school and an American graduate school, but I'm not American, I don't experience that, because a lot of, like, my friends and stuff are American, and it's not my culture, so sometimes I'm like, yay, you know, fireworks and shit, but when it's Vincent Cho doing it, I'm not into it.
I think it's just because, like, in the past 10 years or so, like, a lot of stuff that's traditionally like American imagery, like Uncle Sam and like aggressive flag waving and stuff, has really been co-opted by conservatives more than liberals. And so like, it's just, for me, I look at that stuff and my knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, I'm at a rally that's trying to get rid of gay rights, as opposed to like, I'm at a rally for,
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what Vincent thought as well.
No!
I'm sorry. Please don't sue us for slander. But also, like, if you're listening to this, let us know what's up. Like, we can stop the jokes. We just want to know what's up. Yeah, but no, I feel like
America had these really terrifying, like, somebody went to Kinko's and printed out giant things of everyone's face. And, like, it was really creepy somehow.
And also, like, I don't know how where they got them made. Because I think it was Brady... Was it Brady when they were, like, sitting in the Kiss and Cry and they were like, your head's arrived?
No, it was Mariah's.
It was Mariah's. Like, I'm so curious about, because I know from their Instagram as well that they, like, decorated their hotel rooms and stuff as well. I wanted to know how they traveled with all of that stuff. I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe they got it shipped or something. I don't know.
Or, like, five people, like, all did everyday clothes in one person's suitcase, and then someone else's suitcase was just, like, inflatable U.S. flag stuff.
France had, like, baguettes and stuff, which was funny.
I want to say I was listening to our episode from before World Team Trophy happened, and you go into this entire bit about Kevin Amos with, like, a mustache and a tiny baguette. And then it happened. Like, you spoke that into existence.
I'm so happy that I have the power to speak one thing into existence. It was Kevin Amos with a baguette.
Also, Gabriella with the... She had, like, a little beret. It was, like... It was the kind of, like, French costuming that, like, if you're not French and I say, do French costuming and you do this, I would be like, oh, really? But it happened. And
everyone
it was great.
Just kind of was very, like, they were kind of making fun of their own
it was very,
country
like,
style.
Ooh la la.
Tongue-in-cheek. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was funny to see that from people of those
All of
cultures.
My references today are just Anastasia.
I don't think Anastasia invented ooh la la.
Yeah, but no, like, in my head, I had, like, the full, like, scene with, like, the painter and, like, the whole thing.
Like Bernadette
whole,
Peters.
Yeah, that whole, like, sequence. That...
Now, this is skipping ahead a little bit, but we should say there was a Team Spirit Award. What?
There is no structure to this. You're not skipping ahead.
There was a Team Spirit Award that I guess Canada won. And yes. Canada had their little moose things. They all wore their jerseys. They had, like, a lot of hockey, local sports jersey stuff on. But the reason they won was because of one Keegan Messing.
Single-handedly won that for them, to be honest.
To be honest.
Like, Nam, like, likes to take some of that responsibility on Instagram if you go through his posts, because he wore, like, flannel. But it was Keegan.
Yeah, do you want to talk about Keegan and his, like, full gavroche at the barricade flag?
Yeah, speaking of French references, Canada brought this incredibly big Canadian flag. Just, like, very, 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 very big. And Keegan, God bless him, was full, like... Act One finale, One Day More, just, like, waving that flag for the entirety of everyone else's performances, basically. He, like, anytime the audience, the camera would cut to, like, Keegan in the audience, it would be him just waving that massive flag. And it looked great. It looked very patriotic.
It was dramatic as fuck.
It was so big. Like, there's big flags, and then there's... It was like a queen-sized bedspread, maybe even bigger.
That's a good reference.
Also, since we're talking about Keegan, and because we talked about insane men before that attempting weird shit, do you wanna talk about Keegan?
Yeah, so at gala practice, Keegan Messing got into the chaos spirit and attempted a quad axel, and he fell, but it was almost fully rotated.
It was like
four, maybe, revolutions, not quite.
Yeah, it was four and, like, a quarter, maybe. But I'm gonna once again go on record and say that Keegan is going to land the first quad axel just because no one believes me, and I think I'm right.
I think you might be right, too. We're gonna see.
Yeah, it's super exciting for me because there was, like, a cursed moment in which I was scared that he might be done just because, you know, he's getting married and he's in his late 20s. And then he was out there doing a quad axel, and I'm like, you know what? I think we're good. I think we're fine for, like, one more season at least. So yeah. I'm filled with hope and like Canadian pride. I'm not Canadian. I've never been to Canada.
But I'm proud Canadian. Of Canada. I've never been Canadian.
If I wanted to be Canadian, I don't know how that would work. If any Canadian people out there want to like marry me, let me know.
Nam.
Nam, I have had a dream about you, so let me know.
Netta and I had dreams the same night that we were in relationships with Nam Nguyen.
And they were very different. They were very different. Deeply indicative of, like, what's wrong with both of us. So are we missing anything big that happened?
The judges were all wearing, like, creepy masks at one point. That was really cursed.
Yeah, I feel like everyone got the memo that it's, like, a high school dance slash, like, Crucible cast party fantasies at a World Team Trophy. And that got to, like, the technical specialists. And they were all, like, some of them were fine, you know, like, bunny ears or, like, something normal. And then you had people with those, like, plastic, semi-transparent, anonymous-looking masks. It was so spooky.
And it was upsetting.
I was watching, like, most of it. It was, like, early mornings for me, so I'd be, like, not... It was, like, before my first coffee, and they're, like, showing them, and they look terrifying. It was the whole thing. Also, I don't think we've ever mentioned this. Judges' names in figure skating all sound like they're made up people.
They sound like automatically generated names from The Sims. If you've ever played The Sims, they come up with like weird names that sound a little off. Like that's what all judges' names are.
They're all like
who's the what's the one? It was like Taffy Holiday.
Taffy. There's Taffy Holiday. There's Igor Bitch.
Igor Bitch.
Also, if any of those people happen to be listening, like, first of all, you have better work to do. Secondly, I'm sorry we're making fun of you, but, like, those are made-up names. Those are, like,
fake names.
That's not even, like, witness protection. That's, like, when you do, like, find out your so-and-so name. It's, like, the name of your first pet and, like, whatever. I don't want to say, like, your stripper name because that's, like...
Your favorite swear. Igor Bitch.
Oh, yeah, my pet goldfish Igor.
Listen. You're Slavic? I don't know.
Yeah, so Igor Bitch and Taffy Holiday. It sounds like The Sims 2. But yeah. Shout out to all of those very special people who make figure skating possible.
So that was World Team Trophy, and now we're gonna move into Gala for both
wait,
World Team Trophy.
Wait, who the fuck won?
Oh, the USA won, because we have a well-rounded Fed.
USA. Yeah, it was the USA won, and then Team Japan in second, and then Team Russia took bronze. So let's talk about Gala stuff.
Let's do it. So we're going to go through the lineups for the galas and just say some nice things about some of the programs that we have not talked about yet from the gala repertoire of, you know, the world people. So let's see. Oh, okay. So first and foremost and most importantly is the only exhibition that matters is my husband Keiji Tanaka's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure exhibition, which is important for so many reasons. One, it's important because Keiji does it and I love him. And not just because he's super handsome and has a great butt, but because he's a really great skater and I think that he's really underrated because he's overshadowed by Shoma and Yuzu and like kind of for good reason, but like he's got some really beautiful expressive...
He's so charming in that program as well. Like you can tell he's having so much fun with it.
Yeah,
it's like very like contagious. I always like get super into it like whenever I watch that.
Yeah, like also part of the reason I stan him is because I am really into JoJo. Like it's honestly like one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. It's like an anime that is, it's really hard to describe the plot of. I've seen over 100 episodes and I'm still not convinced it has a plot. It's very aesthetically pleasing. It's very weird. It's very colorful and like super gay, but also like camp masculinity. It has a lot of overlap with figure skating in that respect, but it's got really fun music. And anyway, so
I've never seen JoJo. I've only seen like you screen cap it, but that song is so great. And I always like super go off on it. And I,
oh yeah,
I should probably watch JoJo.
I'll show you certain things. I'll show you like episodes that are good. But basically, I made a joke on Twitter like someone should skate to the JoJo music, and then literally minutes later, the first videos of his ex got released like back in December, and it just felt like it was meant to be. So anyway, it's a really fun program. His footwork is actually insane. Like he has a little bit of that, like, Daisuke Takahashi, like, insane footwork, really good performance. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that.
I stan.
And speaking of weeb shit, we forgot to mention that the poodle from Yuri on Ice, Maka-chan, was the mascot of World Team Trophy. So everyone was very excited.
Yeah, he looked so great. I know I've said this before, I think. I am so incredibly impressed by mascot skating.
My God.
Especially me too. Especially Maka-chan and whatever the fuck the utter creature that we got was. They were like jumping and doing like beautiful transitional elements and everything. In costumes, it like you could be a great skater and those costumes still, oh my God, ASMR.
I'm sorry, I just poured myself a cup of water.
It's fine. I'm into it. Hydration is very important. What I was saying is, like, your center of gravity is different when you're wearing, like, a big, essentially, fursuit.
How do you know that, Netta?
I do not. I'm just assuming. I've never had the privilege and the pleasure. yeah, I don't actually know, but I would assume it's, like, I mean, it's like trying to skate in, like, when I would skate outdoors and it was, like, super, super cold, I would skate in, like, several layers of clothes and, like, a big jacket and everything. And it's so different from skating in, like, a t-shirt and a sweater.
So, well, and I think about, like, mascots like Gritty, who just fall on their furry ass all the time, which is, like, so funny. But these guys can, these, like, Japanese mascots can actually skate. And I wonder if it's, like, a thing where, like, at Worlds where they put, like, kind of like a C-team skater in the Tamarin costume.
Probably, yeah. It was clearly people who knew how to, like, handle that. It also reminded me of that one video from Adult Nationals, like, I think it was, like, a couple years back when, you know, they do their, like, exhibition, like, fun skate.
Someone oh, the dinosaur
theirs.
Woman?
Yeah, someone did theirs in like, an inflatable T-Rex costume.
Yes.
It's outstanding. Incredible. And she was, like, doing,
and
like, doubles
to walk
stuff.
The dinosaur.
It was outstanding. I want that to be me at some point.
So, good for KG. Good for Weebs.
Hey, Weebs.
Okay. Brady has a exhibition to Shine Bright Like a Diamond by Rihanna. And, like, it's fine. It's not, like, my cup of tea per se. But the thing about it that's weird is her outfit.
Her outfit looks like she's ready to do, like, a postmodern jukebox version of, like, Thunderstruck.
It's, like, I like the tight leggings. And then it's, like, a black leather jacket that's, like, a biker jacket cut. And then, but then the back is totally mesh.
And then
it's,
she has, like
so
a weird belt.
Weird.
It's just
a silver belt from the Michal Kolyada Muse collection.
It feels like it was made for a different program. There's nothing about this that says diamonds or Rihanna.
Or Rihanna.
Or, like, pop. Which is, I mean, fine. But it's just confusing to me. And also, like, it feels like I would love this costume in theory, but in practice, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Yeah, same. We want to talk about Elizabeth Tursunbaeva because her exhibition is a tribute to the late, great Dennis Ten, her fellow countryman. Pour one out for Dennis. And she does a lovely, like, Lara Fabian piece, and it's very emotional. And then, like, it starts with her watching, like, a montage that they play on screen of all his achievements, and I, like, cried so much.
I'm tearing up just thinking about it.
I know. And then at the very end, it's a really awkward, jarring music cut to, like, a guy singing, and then afterwards they're like, that was Dennis singing, and then I was like, oh God, he was such a good singer.
Yeah, he was like a talented singer as well. It was like,
and a photographer and an artist and a skater, like, it's just ridiculous. He was so
life
good at everything.
Life is so fucking dumb and unfair.
It's so unfair.
It's so unfair. It's so ridiculous. But yeah,
but that was my favorite I've seen her skate. I thought
honestly,
that her costume was very minimalistic and very simple, and I thought she, like, actually skated with the maturity, and she looked more mature of, like, an actual 19-year-old. So I hope that that's sort of more the direction that she goes in, and less the, like, absolutely wild, crazy chaos of Daniil choreography.
Yeah, it was, like, a beautiful emotional piece, and you could tell she, like, her heart was in it, and I just want, like, maybe not the same level of heartbreak, but, like, the same level of care and commitment in the rest of her skating.
Yeah, for sure. I hope that she can continue to skate to things that she has a personal connection to, and hopefully it's, like, a less heartbreaking personal connection, but you can tell that's when she really skates well.
Maybe skate to, like, your favorite song from childhood or something. I don't know, something that makes you happy. I don't know. This is not a roast. I really love that program from her, and I cried a lot.
Another program that gets me weirdly emotional is, I know that we don't really talk about Ice Dance in Paris, but I just wanted to shout out Misato Komatsubara and Tim Coletto's exhibition that they do to the soundtrack from Your Name. Oh, speaking of weeb, so shit, beautiful. I've never seen that movie because I value my own mental health and I know it's really sad.
Yeah, same.
But even just the music, it just has like a really bittersweet, sad quality to it. And I guess in that respect, it's a good match for the movie from what I have heard. But yeah. I like their costumes. They're like pink and blue. And apparently they look like the poster. And I just love them. Like, they're so cute and like they're married and they skate with, I don't know, they have a lot of chemistry. And obviously.
Yeah, that program like makes me feel things.
It really makes me feel things. So good for them. That's what we want them to do. You know, they're not like world competitive top six ice dancers in the world, but I love their style and I think they're just like really like Tim especially, but also Tim and Misato both on social media are really worth a follow because they're so funny and they post a lot of really good content of like the more famous Team Japan skaters, if that's what you're into.
If that's what you're into. Another program that I want to shout out that's not something we would usually talk about is Nicole Della Monica and Matteo Guarisi from Italy.
Yes.
They have the most fun exhibition piece, which a lot of our friends hate. And I don't know why. It's They Skate to You. It's a mashup of the Rocky theme and Let's Get It On.
The narrative is like a male boxer and a female boxer fall in love, but she like manipulates him. And I don't know, it's funny, like it's got a story and it's cute.
Keeps
and
it has being sound like effects. It keeps being like the second you think it's gonna be sexy and sensual, they like start punching each other.
And I can see why that could strike some people as problematic, but
yeah,
I think
but
it's
like very tongue in cheek, and it's clearly like they're like doing the clown version of like being boxers. Like he walks in onto the ring from like through the audience in like his little like boxer robe, and he tries to like wrestle the audience and like attack them, and it's like it's such like physical comedy that can't be like, oh my god, they're fighting and that's offensive.
Yeah, they also like are both really scantily clad in it, so it's a good thirst trap program.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I was gonna say she wears like a dark blue sports bra and like black shorts with it, which I don't think she did like the last time we saw that. But she did it World Team Trophy. And I was like, do you just, like, wear any sports bra with this?
Well, and then at, like, World... It worked out okay at World Team Trophy, but at Worlds, Matteo couldn't get his robe off because they start out in these robes. And, like, yeah, it was a mess. They did a better job at World Team Trophy, for sure.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very fun program, for sure. It's campy, and it has a story. And you can clearly... It's one of those exhibition programs where you can clearly tell they're having fun with it. And when it's not like a super emotional exhibition program, that's what I like. It's just, hey, here's things we would not do in competition, but we could do them and they're fun. So yeah, I enjoy that.
Honestly, like, I want to talk about everyone's ex and like we can't. So I'm just like, very quick shout outs. Bo-Yang does Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and it's an exhibition, but he low-key does it better than Vincent.
Yep.
Satoko does a really chaotic Cirque du Soleil program with a scarf, and right? She's the one with the scarf, like the shawl thing. And Stefan choreographed it, so of course it's a chaotic music cut. It's very like sexy and weird, of course.
Can we talk about Kaori's ex from Worlds?
Yeah, well, she was doing, like, a weird, like, sexy nun sister act thing for a while, which was
so
really
bizarre. It is so weird. She has, like, a bedazzled awesome. Cross on her dress. But her new one is so great, and just do that.
Christian imagery in Japan is, like, more of a fashion thing than a religious thing, but, like, as far as I understand it anyway, but her new ex is so cool. It's like, I described it as like a BDSM taiko drummer fantasy. It's
which
so
is
fun.
Fantastic.
It just slaps so hard. Like, just watch it. It's so fucking cool. Shoma's ex at Worlds was actually, like, I cried harder than I cried at even, like, Lil Bits. Because he did See You Again by Wiz Khalifa, which, like, he had been doing that even before Dennis died. But, like, there was sort of, like, oh, is this for Dennis? It was so emotional. Like, I'm sorry. Mihoko is so slept on as a choreographer.
No, she's fantastic.
Incredible.
Yeah, there's been, in terms of like in memoriam sad programs this season, we've unfortunately had a bunch that are like really, really touching and good. Some of them are also about Wolverine, and that's fine.
Shoma's so expressive. Like, so fucking expressive.
Yeah.
Zhenya did an exhibition to Experience, which is the same track that Mariah does her free skate to, and it was very different. We know Zhenya loves props. We know Zhenya loves mime. I wept. Again, she's been doing this X for a while, but kind of takes on new meaning now. It just feels like about, it's like the story of someone who goes on a journey and has, you know, hard times.
An experience.
Her narrative.
I feel like both her and Mariah's started out as like, oh, here's a nice piece of music. And now both of them are like, here's a narrative. And it's like personal. And it makes me feel things. Also, I love that program from her. I need to like never hear that piece of music ever again. Because it's up there with like
Melagania. I listen to it all the time.
It gives me, no, I enjoy it deeply, but it gives me like post-traumatic stress. And I'm not making fun of people who have actual PTSD. I know it's a very serious thing, and I do apologize. But also, it stresses me out, and I feel anxious, and I feel like that's something.
I think that that is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's not offensive.
I'm just saying.
Oh, Vincent does dance Slow Dancing in the Dark by Joji, which is like a valiant effort at like a sexy emotional piece. Joji himself... like tweeted about it.
Wait,
like,
I wanna find the tweet because it's actually funny. And it's
funny. I love Joji.
I wanna say it's like very sweet because how the fuck am I gonna find this? It's very sweet because Vincent like clearly like really likes his music and was excited to do this piece, and then it was like a moment of like him getting noticed.
Notice me, Joji Senpai.
Joji Senpai. Oh fuck. Oh yeah, so he tweeted like a short video from that exhibition, and he said, this motherfucker said, fuck skating and spun on his knees, a true legend.
Like, and it's like, okay, like, obviously, like, Joji doesn't know that knee sliding is,
yeah,
but, you know, it's fine.
But it's, like, super funny, a true legend.
And Vincent, apparently, he cut himself when he was doing that legendary knee slide, so.
Yeah, I mean, because he does it, like, a bunch, and there is no technique in that, in which you can, like, avoid scraping your knees. Like, even if you like tape them up or something, you're still gonna scrape your knees. So he like posted a picture of that and was like, the price of that like legendary knee slide, which is fair.
Yeah, so we gotta talk about Yuzu's Haruyoko, which is the most beautiful, stunning thing that's
Elf
ever
prince,
been done on ice.
So gorgeous.
Flower prince. Jellyfish prince.
Yeah, those sleeves are next level. It's like what I'm missing. I know I just defended minimalism in men's figure skating like half an hour ago, but this is great. Like, it was so, it's such a great costume, and he looked so beautiful and clearly effortless and just good.
What it is it's like a pale pink flowy blouse, and it has these like curly Q like jellyfish things that hang off the sleeves, and then it's all just black from the waist down, and there's all these images of him where under the spotlights it looks like he's just like waist up Julie Taymor jellyfish puppet fantasy.
Yeah, yes.
And he doesn't he just like does his little like simple like delayed single axle jumps in it, and it's just he does his like he fully hydroblades and kisses the ice. It's very beautiful and sensual, and like it's one of those things where you just cry cuz it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's truly like such a display of like artistry and skating skills, and it's very very pleasurable to watch just cuz I mean, we get so distracted by the acrobatics of competitive skating, and then he delivers something that's so gorgeous, and it's just good skating, and it's great. Highly recommend. Go watch it.
We should also talk about Nathan, who self-choreographs all of his exhibitions, and it's so fun! I love his weird, quirky, strange style.
I adore his style. I honestly, like, I'm not gonna compare them because they're very different, but like while Yuzu's style is like so like magical and just alien and incredible, Nathan's self-choreographed stuff just feels like very relatable to me as someone who is sometimes by themselves in a studio and just like puts music on and just like improv contemporary moves about the space, and it's not quite dance, but it's just like moving. I mean, I could never do like any of the things he's doing, but like on an emotional level, I understand where he's coming from, and it's fun.
You know what it is? It's like we talk a lot how Yuzu is so otherworldly and ethereal, and Nathan is just so quintessentially like human teenage boy, and he's like such an artist that he is able to translate those emotions of being like 19 or 20, you know, a guy having feelings, and he that are just like tearing out of him at a speed that he can't really keep up with. Like, that's the feeling I get from all of his like choreo.
And so impressive, I really like, when you know that he like did that by himself.
Yeah,
just for himself. There's something very vulnerable, I feel like, with like Zhenya does it as well, and anytime anyone presents like a self-choreographed piece like that, we talk a lot about like, you know, young people letting you know that they know how to experience human emotion. I think there's something very private in here's something that I came up with by myself to make my body do this. Because even if it's just like on an emotional like performance level, if it's someone else's choreography, there's like an element of like direction and, you know, here's how you do this and maybe you can like get the emotion out of it. But when it's like, no, this is, I came up with those moves and this is like what I'm trying to say with this, there's like a level of like vulnerability in that. It's like very fascinating to me. Like doing a dance solo that you came up with yourself sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's up there with like scatting for me of like stuff I wouldn't ever want to do. Like,
yeah, like even if like even if I like physically know how to do that, I'm like, don't look at me. I don't want to know. You know how I read that Joji tweet?
Mm-hmm.
I just scrolled down to see the interaction between him and Vincent after. So I'm just going to do a traumatic reading for you.
Oh, no.
Because it's poetry laureate Vincent Zhou reflected upon being noticed by his senpai, Joji. And he says, I told myself I would cross the crocodile-infested Nile with a stack of VCOM papers in one hand and a rabbit wolf with its teeth embedded in the flexor digitorum profundus tendon in my other arm just for you to notice me. I'll need the power of Shaggy on my side for this one. And then Joji says,
can you say that one more time? I need to hear that again.
I'm going to do this sentence by sentence like I'm in poetry class. No, it's a very long sentence. I'm going to pause halfway through. I told myself I would cross the crocodile-infested Nile with a stack of VCOM papers in one hand, and a rabbit wolf with its teeth embedded in the flexor digitorum profundus tendon in my other arm just for you to notice me. I'll need the power of Shaggy on my side for this one.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so what did Joji say to that?
It was a beautiful performance. And then Vincent says, love you, Dad. 3 red hearts.
And then what's wrong with him?
And then someone with the display name Lesbian Robocop says, this shit is literally the cutest.
I don't like any of that.
Is Joetry.
Joetry.
Oh, my head hurts. Okay, let's finish this episode.
Cool. So the other cool thing about Finn's exhibition at Worlds is that for his encore, typically like the top skaters come out and they do a little encore, like a little piece of whatever they won with, like they're short or they're long or whatever. And Nathan instead opted to do Nemesis, which was his short program from the Olympics where he ate shit, right?
Yeah.
And he came back and he skated to that, you know, this little snippet he did perfectly. And it's, I thought, was the perfect flex because it was like, fuck you, I'm doing a fourth program and I'm doing the one that I previously ate shit on and the lyrics are about karma and I just won my second world, so fuck all of you. That was the energy
so
I got.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's so beautiful. Because it's one of those things where at the beginning of the season where we're still hearing a lot of like, if you remember at the Olympics, and now I feel like we're way past that because, well, because of the seasons he's had since. I'm not sure if we've talked about Keegan's. No, we have
about
not.
About trashing the camp.
Yeah, Keegan, a beautiful, chaotic man who I adore. His exhibition program, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it. If you're a fan of this podcast and you've gotten this far, do yourself a favor, and when you're done with this, go on YouTube and just treat yourself.
Yeah, it's so much better if you don't know what to expect. Just watch Keegan Messing's Tarzan exhibition from one of the last couple of programs, because the costume, the more recent costume is key.
Yeah, it's very, very special. Please enjoy. Tweet us about it after. You're going to have a good time.
You will. Also worth noting, Shoma brought back Stairway for his exhibition at World Team Trophy, so we did get to see it again.
Yes.
He did try some crazy fucking shit in it again. Didn't work out again. Whatever.
He just keeps trying to flex to, like, prove.
It's a
I'm
lot.
Proud of
but
him. I'm proud of him. He's I'm not great. Mad at it. He just won, like, now, an award, right?
Okay, he did. He won an award from the JSF. As like their top skater of the season, which we're like very happy for him. There was some drama that it's always been used in the past few years, which like he barely competed internationally. Calm the fuck down.
It's very delusional to expect it to be Yuzu when Shoma's been working his ass off like all season and doing super, super well. But anyway, yeah, like, congrats Shoma. Yay. I hope he gets a stack of meat for this.
Yeah, he definitely deserves it. And I hope that he knows that. So, one of the really fun things about a World Team Trophy is that the host, like, I guess, I don't know if it, like, Team USA won, and so they got to do a team exhibition, and Japan got to do one too, and I don't know if it's because they're the hosts or because they came in second, but both those teams put together, like, a group dance, and they're always so cheesy and stupid and, it's like, haphazard last minute.
Yeah.
Team USA did a routine to USA by Da Pump, which is like a Japanese like J-pop band, but they have a song that's like USA, USA. And I thought it was cute that they did a Japanese song.
Yeah, it's a nice, like, it's yet another one of those like moments of like super cute sportsmanship that we got to see at World Team Trophy. I thought it was like very thoughtful and funny.
Yeah, and Team Japan did a medley of J-pop from, like, each of the years that they were born or something. But it was funny because they did, like, a behind-the-scenes, like, video of them all sitting at a table deciding of what songs they were going to pick. And Shoma's favorite song is this song called Lemon.
Do you want to give us a sample?
Yeah, it's not the Pharrell version. It's by, what's his face? Japanese song. And let me tell you, I had not heard prior to Japanese Stars on Ice where they did a group routine to it, but for some reason Shoma wasn't included. And so he finally got to skate to it. I'm going to find it because I've been listening to it nonstop because it is such a fucking earworm. It's by Kenshi Yonezu or Yonezu. I don't know how you pronounce that one, but I'm not going to sing it for you.
I can play a sample.
Yeah, play a sample.
Oh my God, we're a music podcast now. I hope we don't get in trouble.
Yeah, okay. So this is the song. Lemon. あの日の悲しみさえ、あの日の苦しみさえ、その全てを愛してたあなたと共に、胸に残り離れない苦いレモンの匂い。
I'm not sure if we can play anymore for copyright reasons, but that was about 15 seconds of that. Go experience the rest of it.
this song is so cute. I love that it's Shoma's favorite song. I don't know if he's a lyrics guy. Some people are not lyrics people. They just like the sound of things. But the song's lyrics are so sad. They're like, it's like singing to a past lost love about how much you still love them and think about them all the time.
Oh, God. It's fucking Japanese Celine.
It is. But they skate to that and then they skate to other things. And, like, it's just cute. Like, it's worth watching. Japan, last time they did Pineapple Pen, which is, like, a meme song. I'm happy that they did something a little cuter this time.
If you and
Pineapple Pen is also...
I have a question. Even though we're from different countries, if you and I had to, like, choreograph a group number, what do you think that would be?
Like, what country would that be?
Like, for? I know. We're, like, representing, like, our group of friends.
We would pick like an indie banger. I feel like that's where the overlap of our musical taste lies.
Yeah, I feel like we would not, unless we do like a meme, it would be like the Hozier program we both want.
It would be the Hozier program we both deserve, let's be honest. Yeah. Oh, we have to talk about Liza Toxic, obviously. We've talked about it before, though.
I mean, it's iconic. Everyone knows. It got to like normie Twitter. It's just great. I'm not sure what she's going to do to top that. Like, we've joked about it, but I feel like she set such a bar of herself for like exhibition skates, and she's gonna have to do something. I want to say Free Britney.
Oh, yeah. Free Britney.
It's horrible to be 37 years old and have manipulative family and management like taking control of your life and your mental health, so read about it. Free Britney. Moving on.
Yeah, I think that's all we have to say about the galas. It's honestly, some people don't like galas. I love galas. They're chaotic and ridiculous and always feel a little bit like a weird dream. And maybe that's just because a lot of them have been happening at like the middle of the night in my time zone. But yeah, it's the lights and the colors and the strange choices that are made.
Yeah, it's very, I feel like there is a big overlap between galas and what we're used to as like experimental theater makers. So
yeah.
I think that's why we enjoy them.
Yeah, it's like half like experimental and then half like just stupid.
Yeah, it's,
and that's like what experimental
people
theater.
Half of the people show up and are like, here's my deep trauma and I'm gonna dance about it, and then the rest of them are like, I don't know, here's a meme. And that's it.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah. Yes. Theater is great. I want to introduce a new segment to this podcast for the off-season. We've had people ask if we're here for the off-season. The answer is clearly yes. And because things are happening so fast in the off-season, I want to introduce like a little update corner in which we keep up with retirements, coaching changes, people who've announced programs, if those are exciting, stuff like that, and things we want to say about that. Sound good?
Yeah, good! Say something!
Why are you screaming in my ear? What is happening?
Okay, because while you were introducing that segment, I was on Tinder, and
this is a very serious podcast.
And, okay, so like, you know how if you're not familiar with Tinder, you,
good for you.
Good for you. God, your life's going fucking great. They put like part of the bio over the picture, and then it gets cut off if it's too long. And so I'm going to read this person's bio to you, and then I'm going to stop where it cut off. And you tell me what you think it was going to say next. So this guy says, I'm the chill nerdy type. I play a lot of video games and I work the rest of the time. Don't get me wrong. I do go out, but I just need that. And then P-U-S. And then that's where it got cut off. You want to know what it says?
Yes.
I just need that push to get out of the house.
Yeah. Duh. I feel like that was like...
That I was think clearly what that we were was all
very
thinking.
That's I feel like that was very intentional, and kudos to that person. That's very, very funny.
There's no way that was intentional.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure
you
it
think
was.
So?
Yeah. I think that's like
funny.
I think I'm convinced you should swipe right and ask him, cuz that's very funny.
Maybe I will. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry. So yeah, so this next section is going to be us talking about news.
Yeah, and not all of it, cuz like different levels of like care, I guess.
That would be outrageous if we covered all of it, because we're all going to find out in, like, 3 months.
Yeah, also, like, you don't want to hear us delivering, like, our opinions on music choices now, because we're going to talk about them for a season. But I want to talk about retirements, because I have had a lot of predictions, a lot of, like, oh, maybe they're going to retire, like, blah, 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 blah. What I did not expect is Karina Manta and Joe Johnson announcing retirement because they're joining the circus.
Yeah, come the fuck on. That's outrageous. And I don't think anyone fucking predicted that.
I could have predicted, like, I don't know, they're announcing retirement because normal reasons. They want to do other stuff with their lives. They want to be Instagram influencers. No, they're joining the circus.
They're joining Cirque du Soleil, which has an ice show.
They're developing a new one. But they're, like, moving to Montreal and, like, joining the circus.
I'm so happy for them. Like, oh my God.
It's so exciting. I was, like, sad for, like, half an hour. Just because, like, change is jarring, but it's such a great opportunity for them, and I'm sure it's, like, financially a great choice. And also, like, Joe's, like, his, like, little note about it on Twitter was very sweet, and he, like, talked about Karina as, like, the person who, like, literally trusts him enough to, like, run away to the circus with him, which I thought was very, very sweet. I wish them all the best, and I hope they tour, because I would love to see that.
I would too. And Karina's going to blog about it. And I'm sure we'll get great content from Joe because he's a social media star.
Also, Joe posted an alternative retirement tweet, which was just a screenshot of Nina Bonina Brown from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 in that iconic YouTube video in which the title was just, well, it's over. Okay. So that was great and relatable. And I appreciate him deeply. Speaking of people for whom it's over, Maxim Kovtun from Russia has announced retirement, and I'm very much in my feelings about it, even though I've recently learned that he might not be a great person.
Yeah, he's another one of, like, a Vincent type where you hear rumors of, like, he might be homophobic, but I haven't seen receipts, and also he's, like, a bro in Russia, so
yeah, he's a Russian bro, so I'm not, like, disappointed but not surprised, but also I'm still very, very sad. Just because I really like his skating and he's had such a trajectory. He's a four-time Russian champion, got like 2 silvers at Euros. He's been a talent, and there's been some reactions from like Russian, I guess, figure skating experts. Like Tatiana Tarasova gave an interview in which she talked about how he did not live to like his full potential. She felt like he could have done so much more with like what he was given, but like that's just how things turned out. You know, he had like injuries and like other stuff happened, so it didn't like, it wasn't what it could have been. He should have gone to the Olympics in 2014 and he did not. And he signed like he had like a very dramatic Instagram post about his retirement as well. And he signed it with like his name. And then in parentheses, he was like that boy who never got to the Olympics. So that's upsetting. But he's saying that he might want to coach eventually. And Yagudin, I don't know how he would know that, but he said that he could see Maxim becoming one of like the Russian greats among coaches. So maybe we're gonna, you know, live in a world where 5 years from now we have like Javi and Kovtun and Kiss and Cries just being beautiful. So that would be exciting.
I would adore that.
That would be great. They would be like up there with like Steph just like hanging out. And that's a world I kind of want to live in. Happy trails to him. Best wishes on like whatever he decides to do next.
I completely agree with everything you just said, so I'm gonna leave it there.
I just went off a little bit. Is there anyone else? Tim Delensky.
Tim Delensky. I admire a kid who's like, you know what? I'm gonna go to college and be normal.
Yeah, his Instagram post about it was like very cute because he was like, there is more to life and I just want to find out. And I'm like, you know what? That's super valid and like great.
With that, let's take a nice left turn into social media corner and talk about some of the things that have happened. Something we forgot to talk about last week is that Sergei Voronov finally got a fucking haircut and he looks so cute.
He looks really, really good. Like the miracle that could happen to a person when he cuts off his like weird like Russian folk singer hair. He looks great.
And he cut off the front flap, and it was such a strong choice.
Yeah, he looks great. He has, like, he has his facial hair back, which is great. He looks great, and I hope he doesn't retire. I'm like, he's one of the people I'm concerned about. But he seems to be training, like, pretty consistently. And he's not in any ice shows, so I would, like, expect him to just be working.
Yeah. One other really excellent thing that happened is that Romaine and Mariah finally reunited, and it happened in an unexpected way, which was that she, after World Team Trophy, went to France to go visit Romaine and his family.
Which is so cute. Also, it was her birthday, so she, like, chose to, like, be with him and his family for her birthday, which was very sweet.
It looks like Romaine lives on some sort of beautiful French countryside farm or something. So they have this really ugly, fluffy cat that I love. And they also visited some horses. It was like full French horse fantasy. It was cute. And they did a photo shoot.
There was like a video on Romaine's Instagram, which was, I think, his grandpa giving them a ride on the back of like a tractor. Or like, it's not a tractor. It's like a tiny... some sort of like agriculture vehicle. I'm not sure exactly, but they were like standing up in the back and he's just like driving them around like this tiny French town. It was very cute. So they seem to be having like a good time relaxing, but also Romaine's like skating again. So it's like she's resting, but he's back on the ice, which is so happy. I'm so happy for that because I've missed him and I've been worried about his back, but he seems to be doing okay.
Adam Rippon started a YouTube channel, which is so fucking exciting.
Oh my god, I'm so hyped. So, Adam Rippon does not need us to promo his YouTube channel, but I'm gonna go for it anyway. He's posting, like, twice a week, just like normal YouTuber bullshit. Like, I don't know, like, here's me doing my makeup with my eyes closed and whatever. But he's also doing a series that I'm super excited about that I think is called, like, Breaking the Ice or, like, Break the Ice or something, where he's interviewing celebrities while they're skating, but he's not doing it with like other skaters. He's just getting like Lily Singh and like, but it's people who can't skate and he like teaches them how to skate and like asks them about life, I guess. So that's gonna be super exciting.
I am so excited. Okay, the last thing we need to talk about is maybe the most important, which is that we learned about a new relationship that is like,
I don't know if it's a new relationship, but we just found out about it.
It's a newly announced relationship.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Alex Shibutani, him and Maya were in New York. They went to see Hamilton, which is valid as fuck. But then we found out that Alex is dating Sabrina Imamura, who is in the ensemble of Hamilton. She was in the tour, and now she's on Broadway. And she is gorgeous.
She's so hot. Like, literally in our outline, like, we literally just point all caps, Shib GF hot.
I mean, that basically, it's one of those, like, power couples where both of them are so stunning. And, like, she's a dancer. She has, like, all of those pictures of herself in, like, lingerie, just, like, dancing.
She's clearly talented if she's on Broadway in Hamilton, for fuck's sake. I mean, good for him. Like, my God, Christ, what a nice looking couple. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm so happy for them. They seem like a great match. Also, her Instagram, I highly recommend, like, finding. I mean, he tagged her in a post to, like, find his, find her.
All right. Well, I think that that's about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, we can keep screaming, but how are you feeling now that we're done with the season?
I was really sad for a long time, but I'm pretty hype at this point.
And you're also skating, so.
I am also skating. Tomorrow I'm going to get my ice skates widened because I have troll feet.
I'm trying to do like a nice personal update corner and you're here like, I have troll feet.
Yeah, if anyone wants to know what my feet are like, here's a
Her, oh God,
they thick. So I'm getting my ice skates punched out tomorrow, and then my skating lessons will be less of an excruciating pain fest and more of a swizzle party.
Swizzle party. I'm on off season for like 5 weeks, so that's heartbreaking. But I've decided to do Pilates in the meantime, so. That's unexciting. So it's so fun to like hear like what sticks out to you guys and what's funny. So let us know if you're out there. Let us know if you're listening. You can do that by tweeting at us or by giving us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. It makes our lives easier. It makes sure that a lot of people can find us and hear us. And if you do want to tweet at us, Megan, where can they do that?
My Twitter is Megan Kelleher 3, and that's also my Instagram.
Beautiful. What about you? I'm at Neda Marie. That's NEDA, and then Marie, like all the famous Maries that I've already listed. I don't have one this time.
Marie France Dubreuil.
Yeah, there you go. Marie France Dubreuil. Also, you can tweet at both of us at IcedTPod on Twitter, and also same on Instagram if you want to see skate memes.
We can't wait to experience the off season with you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love you.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Bye.
End theme. We don't have an end theme. We should have an end theme.
Yeah, I'll come up with one.
My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
First of all, I suggested an orgy.
I found a caramel egg.
Moving on from stalking.
Yeah, by do it, I'm gonna have sex.
I know.
That would be weird to have a white guy be the team captain, though.
I don't know how beds work.
I hate being reminded of my own mortality.